Good morning, church. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. So please follow along in your Bibles or with the words on the screen. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them.
Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the joy that's now ours to open it and to consider what you would have for our own hearts and lives today. Written so many years ago, but inspired by your Spirit for our good and for our joy. Lord, would you give us that now as we look into these words of your holy word? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we live in a world of breaking news. News is virtually instantaneous these days. Literally at the touch of your fingertips, you can know the latest news at pretty much any part of the world. Breaking news has become such a routine part of our news intake. It's probably the only news most of us look at. Our bodies are even programmed to respond to those two words, breaking news. Some of you are tempted to pull out your phones even now to see if there is any breaking news. And once we hear those two words, the volume of the radio is turned up, the notification is clicked, or we take a few steps closer to the TV. We love a good breaking news headline. Yet, so much of what is deemed breaking news is not worth the click on your screen or the adjustment of your volume button. Just think of how often a breaking news headline has changed the course of your day. We can probably list on one hand, throughout the course of our lifetime, breaking news that has truly altered our day, much less the course of our life. And then to think about breaking news from a worldwide perspective, how much breaking news has impacted literally everyone in the world at the same moment. Well, here in Luke chapter 2, we have some breaking news. It had been over 400 years since the Lord had spoken through the prophets. Think about that, 400 years. The United States just turned 247 years old this year. 400 years of prophetic silence, and now all of a sudden, breaking that silence, everything the Old Testament had been anticipating and pointing to was now being set in motion. God's Son, the Messiah, had arrived. But this time, it wasn't breaking news headlines lighting up the notification screens throughout the towns and villages of the Judean countryside. No, it was an announcement brought by an angel to a group of shepherds in a field. The most important breaking news headline of all of human history, not announced in some grand, glorious fashion to the to the kings and rulers of the world or some worldwide declaration. No, this important, most important breaking news headline comes from an angel to a group of shepherds in a small town. The birth of Jesus is the most important, well, his life is the most important event that's happened in human history. Life, death, resurrection, all that encompasses who Jesus is, but certainly his advent, his coming into the world, sets that all in motion. And it's announced, it's declared, it's the news is told when this birth happens, but it doesn't come like we would anticipate. It doesn't come through some royal declaration. It doesn't come through the religious leaders in Jerusalem, does it? No, it comes from an angel to a group of lowly shepherds. As we think about this passage this morning, this announcement, this breaking news from the angels to the shepherds, I want us to look at it really in three perspectives. I want us to see this breaking news headline, this news that is announced from the angel. I want us to see it through the eyes of the recipients. I want us to see it through the message itself and then the response to this news. So those are the three points. The recipients, the message, the response. Let's begin with the recipients. When you think about the birth of Jesus, the very event that the entirety of the Old Testament prepares us for. Jesus himself said in Luke chapter 24 to the disciples on the road to Emmaus about the Old Testament that it was all about him. So the entirety of the Old Testament is preparing us for this moment. You would have thought that when this moment came, that it would come in some glorious, elaborate, spectacular fashion. But it didn't. Jesus was born into a lowly family in a small town and laid in a manger, a feeding trough. The fact of the news of Jesus' birth was first told to shepherds is not insignificant. I think for us to truly appreciate the place and the role of shepherds in that day and time, we need to understand their status. Kenneth Bailey, in his book, Jesus Through Middle Eastern Eyes, said that shepherds, quote, shepherds in the first century Palestine were poor, and rabbinic traditions labeled them as unclean. So New Testament days, shepherds would have been at the bottom of the social scale in Middle Eastern society. And it's these social outcasts that the Lord first chooses to declare and to announce this breaking news that the Messiah has indeed arrived. The news of the greatest person in human history being born is announced by one of the most glorious, majestic beings ever created to a group of the lowliest people that walked the planet. I think this speaks volumes, doesn't it, of what God was doing and going to do through the sending of the Messiah, the Savior. You see, shepherds here serve as a picture, if you will, of the lowly and the humble. They represent common, everyday people like you and like me. And that's significant because it means that Jesus came for people like us. Normal, common, everyday, lowly sinners. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27. He said, "For God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are." Why? So that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Your salvation, my salvation, the salvation of any sinner was a work of God by His grace to send His Son into the world to redeem us And as he does that, he chooses the lowly and the despised and the despicable and the social outcast of the world, so that there is nothing more to boast in except him and him alone. The incarnation is about the greatest being in the universe becoming flesh. Think about that. The greatest being, the most glorious, majestic, powerful being in the entire universe, steps into our world, puts on human flesh, and becomes a man. The perfect one, the most glorious one, putting on simplicity and lowliness so that the lowly could be brought to glory. Context surrounding the birth of Jesus shows us the lengths that God was willing to go, walking with us where we are, not in some elitist isolation, but becoming a man and living among us and announcing the news to normal, everyday people. Friends, that was good news for these shepherds. And that is really good news for you and for me. To think that the recipients of this announcement, this breaking news headline being brought to shepherds, is just a demonstration that this is exactly the kinds of people God was coming to save. Common sinners. Every single one of us can relate with that. We see the recipients, but we also need to understand the message. As we continue in this passage, in verses 8 and 9, we see that it's the angel of the Lord appears to the shepherds. But in verse 10, we see it says this, "And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." There's a lot packed into that sentence alone. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Put yourself in the shoes or the sandals of the shepherds at that very moment. Just imagine you're on duty, keeping watch over the sheep under your care, when suddenly the angel of the Lord burst on the scene. And when this happens, the shepherds are filled with great fear, as anyone would have been. I think this is really a helpful passage for many reasons, but just a side note, I think that often our view of angels strays far from the biblical description of what we have. Angels are not little chubby, baby-faced, precious moment figures. They were God's messengers and executioners. And another side note, when people die, they don't become an angel, so please don't say that. 2 Kings, the angel of the Lord took out 185,000 Assyrians in a night. Angels are beings you don't want to mess with. And it's this angel that comes now to these shepherds, so you understand why they are afraid. This majestic, glorious, created being coming with news, and they are terrified. And so the first thing the angel says, just like we often see coming from an angel when an angel encounters a human, is what? Fear not. The angel says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." I think several points for this, for us to unpack about this message. First of all, just notice the nature of the message. It's described here as good news of great joy. Good news of great joy. Good news literally is the word where we get the word gospel. This is gospel of great joy. This is good news. That's what the word gospel means, good news. Christmas is all about the good news. It is all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And friends, we know what it's like to receive good news, don't we? I mean, we've all received both good news and bad news in our lifetime. And we'll continue until we see Jesus. But we know what it's like to receive good news, news that we've hoped for, prayed for, that was, or even news that was unexpected that results in some great blessing. Well, that's exactly what is being brought to these shepherds. The angel brings these shepherds gospel that results in great joy. That's what the good news of Jesus' birth does. His birth, his life, his death, his resurrection. It accomplishes the purpose of God in bringing us hope that grounds us with a great and lasting joy. Friend, I wonder if that is something you can relate to. Do you resonate with the news about Jesus as described by the angels? Do you see Jesus as truly good news? Friend, I will stand here this morning and tell you there is no better news in the world than the news that Jesus came into the world to save people like me and you. It is the greatest news. It is the best news. It is the most glorious news. It is good news. Can you relate to that? Do you see the news about Jesus as truly good? Maybe another way to ask that. Do you find Jesus as your greatest joy? Because he is good news of great joy. We've all seen news accounts of all kinds of situations, but even certainly fresh to mind as of late, of just various accounts of hostages being taken into captivity and then later released. Many times we see them through news headlines or even retellings of the events through a movie or something like that, as these hostages see their families for the first time after being held captive. Just a flood of emotions and joy as you see them rushing into the arms of their loved ones. And their lives are never the same again. They know what it's like to have lost their freedom and now to regain it. Friends, the reason the news about Jesus is good news that brings great joy is because that's exactly the kind of mission Jesus has come to accomplish. He has come to release us from captivity and grant us a freedom we could have never gained ourselves. That is why it is such good news, because God so loved the world, he sent his only son into the world to release us from the captivity and from the clutches of sin and bondage and the evil one so that we could know him and enjoy the freedom that comes to all of those who put faith in him. We are all captives to sin, and Jesus comes to release us from those chains and bring us home. The nature of the message is that it is a good message that brings joy. I want you to notice also the aim of the message. It's good news of great joy that would be for all the people. Right? The announcement that comes first, this breaking news announcement that comes only to the shepherds at first, is news that we're told the angels say would be for all the people. This was good news that first came to the Jewish people and began to make its way throughout that region. Though most of them would ultimately reject Jesus and still to this day reject him as Messiah. But we also see as we continue to read the biblical account of how this news extends well beyond Israel to include Gentiles. So this news, this good news of great joy, first declared to a group of Jewish shepherds in a rural setting near Bethlehem, would ultimately have a universal reach. For those of you who missed our Quip Hour this morning, we were talking about the task that remains with regards to missions, and Mark was talking about how the gospel has reached geographically, literally every nation in the world. Not every people group, but every nation. Just think about that. Since this day, since the day that Christ was born, this reality of this news about him has gone far and wide. Why? Because this was news for all the people. And as such, some 2,000 years later, here we have a gathering of people in St. Mary's County, Maryland, worshiping this Savior, declaring this Savior as good news of great joy. Why? Because this was news for all the people. It's news for you and for me But it's also news for all the people. And as those who have been called into the kingdom of God by His grace, we have this privilege and this calling of being ministers of reconciliation and a commission that we've been given to go and make disciples of the nations. And so, as we think even about this being good news of great joy for all the people, it was news that was not meant to be held and kept in a small corner of the world or kept just among a few shepherds. As you're going to see, even the shepherds immediately begin to tell the people about this news. Friends, we too should see our own calling and responsibility to steward this good news by making it known. By making it known to people in our own families, people in our community, all throughout our nation. And just think about the sheer reach of the global need that we see in the world today. We have all been given this stewardship to declare the good news, to advance the good news of great joy to all the nations because it's for all the peoples. That's the aim of the message. The nature is it's good and it's joyful and it's for the world. But it's important that we see the third point of this, and that is the content. You miss this, you're going to miss everything. The content. In verse 11, the angel elaborates on the message itself when he says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Savior who is Christ the Lord. Several things. Notice, first of all, just the fact that it's a personal message. He says, "For unto you." While this message would indeed be for all the peoples, while it would indeed come to the Jewish people and then expand even beyond them to the Gentiles, to the nations of the world, it had immediate relevance for these shepherds. Like, they were not just there as part of a good nativity scene. Like, the shepherds aren't in the Bible so that you can put them on little figurines on your table. They were there because this was news for them, just as much as it would be news for the rest of the world. It had immediate impact for their lives as it has immediate impact for ours. Listen, the gospel is not just general news. It is personal news. Think about that. The greatest breaking news headline of all of human history has direct implication for you. So much of what we hear in the world today are like, we can take it or leave it. It doesn't really impact me. But this is news that impacts every single person that's ever walked the planet. For unto you is born this day. Notice, not only is it a personal message, it's a promised message. He even says where this takes place. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, the city of David known as Bethlehem. It's about the sixth time that Luke in this narrative has referred to David. We know that, going back to the Old Testament, that Jesus, the Messiah, the promised Messiah, the anointed one that was to come, would be a descendant of David, often referred to as the son of David. And now we're seeing that he was prophesied to be born in the city of David, which was a direct fulfillment of the prophecy we see in Micah chapter 5, verses 2 through 5, that the Messiah would be born in the small town of Bethlehem. It was a promise, and this promise is now fulfilled. But not only is it a personal and promise message, it's a saving message. The angel says of the one born, the Messiah, that he is a Savior, the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This is the one place, by the way, in the New Testament where these three titles about Jesus are used together. Savior, Christ, Lord. He's the Savior. He's the one that comes to deliver us from the captivity that we're in due to sin. He comes to redeem, to reclaim, to reconcile, to rescue, to save. But he is doing so as Christ, the Messiah, the promised one, the anointed one, the one that the Old Testament said would come. He is the one true Messiah. And as such, he is Lord. He is Lord. As the anointed one, the deliverer, the ruler, Jesus is everything we need to be made right with God. That's who was born in Bethlehem, the Savior. It's a saving message. That is the whole point. Christmas is a saving declaration. It is a promise that was made in the Old Testament, now being brought to fulfillment in the New Testament through the birth of Jesus. And we see that it has direct impact on our very lives. So not only do we see the recipients who God came for, but we see the message and what he does through this birth of this child, who is Jesus, the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And then they're told, and this will be a sign for you, you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. The angel tells the shepherds exactly where they can find this promise that has now been fulfilled, which leads us to number three, the response. Now, the response to this declaration, the response to this breaking news from the angel, I think we need to see in a couple of different ways. First of all, we see what we could say is a heavenly response. And it's kind of a unique thing that we're allowed to see in verses 13 and 14. And this is where we get the songs, right? And so verse 13, and suddenly, so just think about that. Shepherds in a field, angel pops in on the scene, says, there's a baby that's been born in Bethlehem. He's the Savior. Here's where you can find him. And then what we're told in verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel, if that wasn't terrifying enough, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Luke gives us a rare glance into heaven's response to this good news of great joy. This was not just good news of great joy for the world. It was great joy in heaven. The angels and the multitude of the heavenly host rejoice in this arrival. The angels would have known the glory of the Son of God before he became a man. And now they see the Son of God in human flesh as a baby lying in a manger in a rural place among a lonely family, and they erupt with praise. I'm not sure, like, had someone told you and me, by the way, there's a baby that was born over here in this small town and obscure place, and just know about that. I'm not sure that we would think much about it, would we? But here we know the significance of this moment, as do the angels, and they erupt with praise. Heaven literally had come to earth, not only in the form of a baby, but now even in this heavenly choir that is rejoicing. Notice a few things about their praise. They rejoice by saying, glory to God in the highest. They ground their joy and praise in God as they glorify him. Glory to God in the highest. This is the work of God. This is God's doing. He is to be praised and he is to be honored. And notice then they say, glory to God and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Or, and on earth peace among those on whom his favor rests. The Son of God comes into the world. The angels erupt in glorious praise because God came for those whom he favored. Peace. He came to bring peace. And when we think about that word peace, we import things into the biblical text sometimes that we shouldn't. And we think about peace, we think, oh, Jesus comes to bring peace to the world, to eliminate conflict and to eradicate wars. Well, when we go back to Revelation in the rest of Revelation, Jesus is a warrior. Like, he's not coming into the world. In fact, he talks about the divisions that will often take place, even between families, because of his arrival. And so the peace that we're talking about here is not the eradication of conflict and wars, but rather a different peace. The peace on earth the angels sing about is not the absence of war, but the peace that is brought between God and man. Until we have peace with God, we will not have peace at all. That's why Paul in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 says that Jesus came and made peace. How? By the blood of his cross. The peace that's being spoken of here in the New Testament is a redemptive peace where God, because of sin and the broken relationships and the conflict and the fact that we're at enmity with God, he comes into the world to bring reconciliation between him and us. That is the peace that the Bible is highlighting here. It is a peace that we often refer to as salvation. But it is a peace that is brought to those on whom he is pleased, or those on whom his favor rests. And I think the shepherds prove to be great examples of this, don't they? Here we have this group of social outcasts just doing their normal stuff, not looking for anything in particular. They're just out in the field doing another day's work. And the grace of God comes upon them. Isn't that how salvation works? What did we do to deserve it? What did we do to earn this favor of God? What did we do to draw God's eyes to us? We were all born into sin. We're no different than these shepherds. We're lowly. We're despised. We're sinners. We have nothing special in and of ourselves that would make God want to look upon us with delight and favor. But he extends it, doesn't he? He extends his favor, and he delights in looking to sinners and saying, I am sending my son for people just like you. Just like you. That is the whole point of this redemptive plan, is that God brings his peace into the world by putting his favor upon sinners, by restoring a relationship between he and them. And heaven rejoices because of it. Another place in Scripture we're told that, think about this, the angels are praising God for something they will never experience. All right? The angels, we're not told in the Bible, would be saved. God saves sinners. He saves us. And yet, you have this heavenly host, these created beings that are in heaven, and they're rejoicing in something they will never, we're told in one place in Scripture, they long to look into. And here they're giving God praise. So you see a heavenly response, but notice also you see an earthly response in verses 15 through 20. Having received this news, the shepherds respond immediately. I mean, if an angel showed up and told you some news, you'd probably be responding immediately too. After you pulled yourself together, maybe changed clothes. They respond immediately by going to Bethlehem to see the thing they'd been told of. We're told in the Scripture that they went with haste. They didn't waste time. And what they did, they found Mary and Joseph with child just as they had been told. When the angels, verse 15, went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Did you hear that? Who made it known to them? Well, the angel did. They saw that as a message from God. The Lord had made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Several things that we see about the responses in this passage. It's interesting that the shepherds go with haste, isn't it? When they hear this news, they go and they find, just as they'd been told, there's Mary and Joseph with the child. And when they saw it with their own eyes, they were told, made known the saying they had been told concerning the child. What did they do? They started telling people. The Lord gave us this message through an angel. We went and saw it for ourselves, and this is what we found. They made known the words. They started spreading the news about the birth of this child. And notice the various responses we see. Notice, first of all, we see that some wondered, verse 18. So all who heard it, the message being declared by the shepherds, all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them, marveled. Now, this is not necessarily a wondering or a marveling that equates to true saving faith. Certainly, the news caused quite a stir. I mean, it's, again, a smaller town, and we know that we're told as the shepherds spread the word, many of these wondered They marvel. They're simply surprised. They likely talked about it for months. But that didn't mean they were converted. You know, people will often marvel and wonder about many things, but that doesn't mean they fully buy into them. I like going out at night and looking at the stars. I often will marvel at the heavens, and I will look at the various star formations and the things that are flying through the night sky, and just it just strikes me. It's a marvelous thing, but that doesn't make me an astronomer. I would be a bad one, even though I'm interested. You know, it's a good reminder to us that marveling about Jesus and following Jesus are two very different things. You can be an admirer of Jesus. You can even talk a lot about Jesus, but that doesn't make you his follower. And I think that is an important thing to say, especially at Christmas. Because a lot of folks treat Christmas like this. We have a lot of admiration for Jesus, a lot of people marveling and wondering at Jesus during the Christmas season. They think that Christmas makes for a wonderful story. They put up nativity scenes in their house or outside of their houses. They have Advent calendars. They sing the carols, but they never really buy into it all. It's a reminder, friends, that wondering, marveling, simply being amazed about Jesus is not sufficient to make you a Christian. Some wondered. Another response we see is that Mary treasured. We go from marveling, wondering, to treasuring. It's quite a difference. Mary knew exactly what was unfolding, despite what the song says. She sang about it in her response earlier in chapter 1. And now she simply is said to be treasuring up all these things in her heart. She knows exactly what's going on, exactly what's unfolding before her very eyes, and she treasures it. Friends, that's exactly what an encounter with Jesus should do. It's what it leads us to. We should treasure all that it means for us to know the Savior. Treasuring the goodness of this provision, the joy that it brings, is the right response. Friend, I just ask you, is that your response? Do you hear this good news? Do you hear this news about Jesus? Maybe you hear it every year and you're like, yeah, this is cool. I'm going to add another figurine to my nativity set this year. But have you made that transition from simply marveling to treasuring? The key thing between the two is faith. Have you not only marveled that Jesus has come into the world, but have you put your very hope, have you staked your very hope on the fact that he did? Because he would eventually go from a wooden manger to a wooden cross where he would hang and where he would live to that moment, but yet he would die in cruel agony on the beams of a cross, shedding his blood as a sacrifice, as a substitute for sinners. And the promise is that whoever would look to him and hope in him, that they would be forgiven and that they would be given eternal life. And when you receive that, that does something to you so that you begin to treasure all that God has done for you in Christ. Mary treasured these things. And then number three, you see that the shepherds praised. After they visited the child, we're told that they returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. I think the shepherds were changed that night. They received the news, they believed it, they investigated it, and when they found it just as they had been told, they celebrated it, both in sharing the news with others and rejoicing in God. The shepherds responded just as the angels did regarding this news. That's what the good news does, isn't it? It creates in us a joy and a delight in God that leads us both to witness and worship. That's what we see the shepherds doing. They're telling people about this news, and they're worshiping God for it. That's what the good news does. It transforms us so that we become vessels by which God uses to make his news known to the world, and he receives praise and glory and worship from us as we go about our lives. Friend, I just ask you this morning, do you see the impact of the gospel in your life in these ways? Are you seeing your treasuring of Christ and your rejoicing in Christ demonstrated through your worship and through your witness? Do you celebrate the good news in these ways? Do you celebrate God? Do you give glory and praise to God as you worship him, but also as you witness to others? This is the good news. A good news of great joy, we're told, that changes the world. So during the Second World War, the Nazis had several prison camps where American soldiers were kept. In one of the camps, there was a number of American soldiers who were starving. They were thin. They were discouraged, wondering if they would ever go home again, wondering if they would ever see another Christmas in their home, in their hometowns. And the Nazi guards would watch them behind the fences with these soldiers and their downcast faces, their shoulders slumped over, even getting to the point where they would just scarcely even speak to each other, just kind of walking nothingness. But suddenly one morning, things changed. The American troops were still behind the fences, still prisoners, still not well fed, many who were very sick. But on this particular day, the guards noticed something quite different. Many of the American soldiers were now smiling. They were beginning to talk, and they were gathering in little huddles. Every now and then, you could hear a shout from somewhere. And the guards had no idea of what was going on. Well, what had happened, unbeknownst to the guards, was that a little transistor radio had been smuggled in. And the American POWs had just heard the news of how the Allied forces had landed and that these forces were moving inland, liberating the places occupied by the Germans. Nothing had changed for the American troops that day except the news. And this news awakened a hope in them that they didn't have before. Friends, we are very much like those prisoners because as you look around the world, horrible things happen. We live in a fallen world. The bondage of sin is real. And like the soldiers, we often feel like the fences are still up and the food is still lacking and wonder if we will ever see liberation from this. Well, the Christmas story is the news of our liberation. The Savior has landed. And victory has been secured. And as such, even though we may feel the impact of our current captivity, everything changes. Hope is found. Joy is established. Worship continues. The angels declared, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for what we've been given in the coming of Jesus into this world. Lord, what a hope that's ours. Lord, we live in such a dark and chaotic time, and there's so much to be disappointed by, so much to be discouraged in, so much to despair over. And Lord, we don't have to look very far. We don't have to look beyond our own selves, our own sin. And yet, Lord, you, in your great kindness and grace, because of your love, you chose to extend favor to sinners and to bring peace to this world. A peace, Lord, that only comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ, a peace that we all desperately need, and yet you have faithfully given. Father, thank you for what you've done by sending your Son into the world. Thank you for this great hope. Lord, would you help us to respond to it in faith? Would you help us not to merely wonder and marvel at this news, but Lord, that we would be a people that are transformed by it, that we would treasure you and praise you and give glory to you and walk with you and witness for you and follow you all our days. Father, do that, we pray. Thank you for the good news of great joy that we have in Jesus, our Savior, who is Christ the Lord. We pray this in his name. Amen.